Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Shlishi. This Perek is dedicated to discuss the crown of Torah that belongs and is available to every single Jew, and what one has to do in order to be able to acquire the crown of Torah. Let's see inside Halacha Aleph. Says the Rambam, B'shloisha k'sarim nichtiru Yisrael. The Jewish people were given three crowns. Keser Torah, Keser v'Keser Kuna v'Keser Malchus. The crown of Torah, the crown of priesthood, and the crown of royalty. Keser Kuna zocha boi Aaron, Shenemar v'hoysa loyal azare achar of bris kuhunas oylam. The crown of priesthood, Aaron acquired. The Pasuk says in Parshas Pinchas that the covenant of priesthood will eternally belong to Aaron and his descendants. Keser Malchus zocha boi David. The crown of kingship, of royalty, was acquired by David HaMelech. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Tehillim Peites, Hashem says, I have taken an oath that Zarei la'olam yiyeh v'chisek HaShemesh negdi. The descendants, the seed of David, will continue for eternity, and his throne will shine like the sun in my presence. So the gift of Malchus, the Keser, the crown of Malchus, was given to David and to his descendants, which created the dynasty of Malchus based David, which continues till Mashiach, because Mashiach has to be somebody who comes from the family. He's a descendant of David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech. This doesn't mean there are no other kings among the Jewish people. There were, right after Shlomo's death, shortly after, the kingship was split between Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehuda, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. You had Rechavam, you had Yeravam, but it means the Keser of Malchus, the crown of Malchus, the true gift of Malchus, belongs to David HaMelech and his family. Keser Torah, the crown of Torah, this is different. Munach v'oimei de'muchem lakoil. It lay and it stands and it's ready, it's open for everybody. It doesn't belong to a tribe. It doesn't belong to a family, it doesn't belong to an ethnic group, it doesn't belong to any individual Jew more than any other one. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, of Ezei Sabracha, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Moirasha kehilas Yaakov. The Torah was given to us from Moshe, it's an inheritance, it's a Yerusha to the entire community of Yaakov. Kol mi sheyirtze yavo v'yitel. Whoever wants could come and take this crown. Shema Taima, you might say, Shaisan Aksarim Gdoila Mikasa Torah. You might say that the other crowns transcend, they are superior to the crown of Torah. Harei Waimer. On this, the Pasuk says in Mishle Perik Ches. Mishle is, of course, the book that was written by Shlomo HaMelech, a book of Proverbs, which is dedicated to wisdom and the wisdom of Torah. So the wisdom speaks about itself. Torah speaks about itself, and it says, Bi melachim yimloichu. Through me kings will reign. V'roiznim yechaykeku tzedek. And princesses will create law and justice. Bi sarim yasayru. It's through me that ministers will rule. It's only through the power of Torah, through the law of Torah, that a king has the power of kingship, that a minister, that a prince has the ability to create a just society and to rule over a society. It's only due to Torah and because of Torah. Nobody is above the law. Everything is ultimately guided by Torah. The crown of Torah, therefore, is the source even of Keser Kohuna and Keser Malchus. Alamadata, from here you learn, Shekeser HaTorah, Gadol Mekeser Kohuna veKeser Malchus. The crown of Torah transcends, its superior to the crown of Kohuna and to the crown of Malchus. And this crown is open and available for everybody. Munach va'oimei demuchem lakol kol haroitze litol yavoi v'yitol. You can fetch it if you want it. Amru chachamim alacha beiz, the chachamim said, mamzer talmud chacham koidim l'kayin gadol lama'aretz. A mamzer, somebody who was born from a adulterous, promiscuous, immoral relationship, which we're going to discuss later in Rambam, what does it take in order for the child to be a mamzer? But a mamzer, who's a Talmud Chacham, who's a Torah sage, takes precedent, is greater than a Kohen Gadol, a high priest, who's an Amaretz, who did not dedicate himself to the study of Torah. Shenemar, the Pasuk says again in Mishle Perek Gimel, Yikara hi mipninim. She is more precious than rubies. Pninim are rubies or precious stones. So Chazal explained, Yikarehi Mikayin Gadol Shenichnas Lefnai Velefnim. The word Mipninim is translated as rubies, precious stones. But it also comes from the word Pnim, which means inside. Pninim is the inner of the inner, who went into the innermost sacred chamber, the Kohen Gadol, once a year on Yom Kippur, he would go into Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Yikarehi Mipninim, the Torah is more precious, even Mipninim, even of the Kohen Gadol, who on the holiest day of the year went into the holiest chamber in the world, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Nonetheless, Torah is more precious than going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and therefore the Mamzer Talmud Chacham, the Mamzer, in terms of lineage, you can't compare him to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol traces his lineage all the way back to Aaron HaKohen. He has the Keser Kohen, and he's in the Holy of Holies. But the Mamzer has the Keser Torah. So Mamzer Talmud Chacham Kodem, the Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz. It's a word they say from Hagorn Reb Shlomo Zalman Oyebach from Yerushalayim. And he once said, why did the Chazal take out the meaning of this? Why did they not interpret the Pasuk literally? Torah is more precious than Pninim, than precious stones, than rubies. And the classical example he gave, because it would be like saying that a tennis bracelet is more precious than a cucumber. It's very strange. Ugh. It's as though the two are in the same category, and saying one is more precious than the other. You know, the most expensive diamond in the world is more precious than a carrot, or more precious than a walnut. Something doesn't make sense. Rav Shlomo Zalman said to say Yikarehi Mipninim, Torah is more precious than rubies. It's like saying the most expensive diamond is more precious than a cucumber, more precious than a chocolate chip cookie. They're l'chatchila not in the same category, to negate that one is more precious than the other. Yikarehi Mipninim, that Torah is more precious than a physical diamond. So the Chazal said, no, Yikarehi Mipninim is Mikayin Gadol, Shenichnas Lefnai Velefnim, the Kayin Gadol who goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Torah is more precious than that. Halacha Gimel. Ein lecha mitzvah b'chol ha-mitzvahs kulon shehishkula keneged Talmud Torah. From all the mitzvahs, all the 612 mitzvahs, there's no mitzvah that can be equated with the mitzvah of Torah, of learning Torah. Ela Talmud Torah keneged kol ha-mitzvahs kulon. Talmud Torah, in the scale, if you put Torah on the scale, paralleling all the other mitzvahs, Torah will outweigh all the other mitzvahs. It's equivalent to all of the mitzvahs. The Rambam says, "Shatalmud mevi l'dei ma'isa," because Talmud learning brings to ma'isa, it brings to action. And the way the Shulchan Aruch Harav in Hilchas Talmud Torah Perek Dalet understands and explains these words of the Rambam is as follows. First and foremost, Torah is a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to learn Torah, there's a mitzvah to know Torah, one of the 613 mitzvahs that he discussed in chapter 1. So it has within itself the fact that it's the quality, it has the quality of the fact that it's one of the mitzvahs, just like any other mitzvah. In addition to that, Torah has something unique about itself that doesn't exist in any other mitzvah. This is discussed at length in Tanya chapter 5, and in many other places in Tanya, in Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhin, and many other Svarim, Maharal Svarim, generally a lot of Svarim, especially Svarim of Machshava, Kabbalah, Chassidus, Musar, and it's based on many Maimori Chazal. And that is that Torah has something unique that doesn't exist in any other mitzvah. To quote the Tanya in the 5th chapter, he says over there that Torah is Chachmasi Ratzayna Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Hashem's will and it's Hashem's wisdom. And it's something that can become absorbed in me and internalized to the point that I understand it and it becomes part of me. And that's why Torah is compared to bread. David HaMelech says, V'sayroscha b'soich meyai. Your Torah is in my stomach. It's not just, you know, cute metaphoric language. He's saying something very profound. When you eat food, that food becomes who you are. It's not a cliche. We are who we eat because the food actually, the body breaks it down and it's converted into the very cells that make up the essence of the human living organism. They are converted into my bloodstream. Every other mitzvah, I do a mitzvah. I put on tefillin, I give tzedakah, I put on a mezuzah, I put on tzitzis, whatever the mitzvah is. Torah is something I understand, I comprehend, so divine wisdom becomes part of me. It becomes assimilated into me, integrated in me, internalized. It becomes me. There's no unity with Hashem like the unity of Torah in the Balatanya's words, "V'hu yichud nifla she'ein yichud kamayu v'loy ke'erka nimsa klal b'gashmi isli es la'chadim u'mi'chadim mamash mikol tzadupina." The oneness with Hashem that happens through Torah does not exist in any other mitzvah. Every mitzvah has its unique advantage, its unique greatness and sacredness. But with Torah, godliness, Hashem's wisdom, Hashem's will, it becomes you, it becomes me, it becomes part of me. It shapes my identity, it transforms me as a human being. My mind, my mindset, my perspective, my Weltanschauung becomes aligned with the divine. So this is all the mitzvah of Torah in and of itself. It's one of the mitzvahs, and it's a unique mitzvah. The Rambam here adds one more thing. HaTalmud mevili de maisa. Talmud brings to maisa. There's no way I could know how to do any other, there's no way I could fulfill any mitzvah without learning. So learning is the prerequisite. It's the blueprint that ultimately includes all the mitzvahs. The only way I can do all the mitzvahs is if I know them. I have to know them, I have to know their details, their nuances, their halachas. That means, in addition to it being a mitzvah, Talmud is also the source, the energizer that brings you to all the mitzvahs, both in terms of technical knowledge, without the know-how, you can't do any other mitzvahs, and also in terms of inspiration. It empowers, it inspires, it energizes, it infuses meaning and vitality to all the mitzvahs. It brings you to do all the mitzvahs. In that sense, learning, besides it being a mitzvah in and of itself, it also includes potentially all the mitzvahs, because it brings you to do all the mitzvahs. It would be like the brain. Besides the brain in and of itself being indispensable to our life, it's also the central nervous system. Every single detail of the body comes from where? From the brain. If it doesn't, if you can't find it in the brain, it will not exist. Its entire identity originates in the brain, and its ongoing functionality and mechanism is all from the brain. HaTalmud mevili de maisa. L'fichach, therefore, HaTalmud koidem l'maisa b'chol makam. Therefore, the Rambam says, Talmud, learning, always, in every place, it precedes action. And the Rambam continues, Halacha dalet. Hoya l'fonav asiyas mitzvah v'talmud Torah. So practically, if somebody had before him a choice, I could do a mitzvah or I could learn Torah. Im efshel mitzvah le'yosas ha'idei acherim le'yafsik talmud. If the mitzvah could be done through other people, do not interrupt your learning. Continue learning. Let other people do the mitzvah. This is a very strange. What do you mean? Imagine a doctor is sitting in the hospital. He's reading a medical textbook, right? And he's studying it very well. And suddenly they bring in a patient. And the patient's condition is the one that's being described in the medical textbook. So they tell, here's a patient. The doctor says, no. Give him to another doctor. I'm busy reading the textbook about the situation. That's much more important. The whole reason why you're studying the textbooks is that you should be able to help the patient. So this doesn't make sense. Imagine I'm learning the halachas of truma, and suddenly I have an opportunity to give truma, but somebody else can do it. You say, let them do it, send a shliach, you continue learning. I'm learning about how to build a sukkah, but somebody else can build a sukkah. Let them build a sukkah, and you continue learning. This doesn't make sense. You're learning about building the sukkah, do it. But that's not the halacha. The halacha is, let somebody else build a sukkah, and you continue learning. Because Talmud has such a powerful idea. It's not just, it's the technical book, how to build a sukkah. Talmud Torah in and of itself is a dveikus. It's a relationship, an intimate relationship with Hashem, in addition to the fact that it includes within itself the mitzvahs. Talmud, mevili demais, it includes within itself also the mitzvah of sukkah, because it brings to the mitzvah, it's like the blueprint of the mitzvah, it's the divine blueprint of the mitzvah. That is the power of Talmud Torah. Vim lav. What if the mitzvah cannot be done through somebody else? Then yasa hamitzvah ve'yachzal l'toyase. Then you must interrupt your learning. You do the mitzvah and you go back to your Torah. Here we say one has to do the mitzvah because this is a mitzvah that can't be done. If the mitzvah can be done through somebody else, then they have to do it. Then they should do it and you learn. But if the mitzvah can be done to somebody else, Hashem wants you to do the mitzvah. So if I say, no, I don't care about your mitzvahs, I'm busy learning. This is already not the Torah. The whole purpose of the Torah is unity with Hashem. Hashem wants me now to do this mitzvah. So obviously I have to stop the learning and go do the mitzvah if it's a mitzvah that can't be done through somebody else. For example, if I have to put on tefillin, or I have to say Shema, or I have to daven, right? Or I have to hear Shofar, or hear the Megillah, or eat matzah on Pesach. I can say, but I'm busy learning. This is a mitzvah. I can't do it through somebody else. I have to eat the matzah. I have to hear the Shofar. I can't tell you to eat matzah for me. So now I have to stop my learning and go eat matzah, or go daven, or go do Krishna. And the same is true. All mitzvahs that can't be done through somebody else. For example, they're collecting tzedakah for a cause, and I'm the one who has to go collect the money because through me the money will be collected because of my reputation or respect. This is the example the Pais can give. Then I have to stop learning. Or it's a levaya. They need somebody to help with the levaya. I cannot delegate this to somebody else. So this is where I have to stop learning, and then I do the mitzvah, and I come back to the Torah. Halacha hei, tchilas dinoi shel adam eina nidin ela ala Talmud. We are first judged for learning. This is the beginning of judgment. We are held accountable first and foremost for our learning. And then a person is judged for all other actions. Lefichach, says the Rambam, he concludes, Lefichach, therefore, Amru, Chacham, and the sages said, La'oi, l'myasik adam b'toyra filu shaloi l'shma, shemetoich shaloi l'shma b'lishma, the Chachamim said, a person should always learn Torah. Even shaloi l'shma, even if it's not for the sake of Hashem, if it's for ulterior motives, why? Because mitoich shaloi l'shma, from learning it, maybe for the wrong reasons, ultimately you will come to learn it l'shma, for the sake of the Torah, for the sake of Hashem, for the sake of connecting to Hashem and doing the mitzvah of learning Torah. How does this come in here, right? What's the sequence here? Lefichach, therefore, the Rambam seems to be saying a new halacha, that even if I'm learning Torah for ulterior motives, for example, I want people to call me a Rebbe, I want people to give me honor. Maybe I'm afraid of punishment, or maybe I want reward in this world or the next world, or I have other ulterior motives. So we say, continue learning, even if it's shaloi l'shma, if it's not for the sake of Torah itself, it's not for the sake of Hashem, it's not for the sake of connecting to Hashem, because it's fine, mitoich shaloi l'shma b'lishma. Beautiful idea. Why does it come into this halacha lefichach, therefore, what's the connection? It's a little hard to understand. So the truth is, one of the most powerful commentaries on Rambam Hilchas Talmud Torah, and not so well known, is the Shulchan Aruch HaRav Hilchas Talmud Torah. The Baal HaTanya, the Rav, wrote a Shulchan Aruch, and in that Shulchan Aruch he includes Hilchas Talmud Torah, four chapters. There are four very long chapters. And there, in that Hilchas Talmud Torah, especially in Kuntres Achara, and the Rav, the Baal HaTanya, analyzes many, many, many halachas of Rambam Hilchas Talmud Torah in his own unique and extraordinary fashion. So I would say that one of one of the best running commentaries on Rambam Hilchas Talmud Torah, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav Hilchas Talmud Torah, with Kuntres Acharon. And he addresses this Rambam in a very original way. He explains it. He says, the Rambam took this from Masechet Pesachim Daf Nun. In the Gemara in Pesachim it says, "Lo'olam yasek adam b'toyru mitzvus afilu shaloi l'shma shematach shaloi l'shma b'lishma." Torah and mitzvus. The Rambam here deletes the word mitzvus; he only keeps Torah. And the answer would be obvious because this is Hilchas Talmud Torah. He's not talking about mitzvus; he's talking about learning Torah. Great, but if so, we have a bigger question. If it's not a din in Talmud Torah, it's a din in all the mitzvus. Why did he put it in Hilchas Talmud Torah? The Rambam should have written once that all of Torah and all of mitzvus, even if you're not doing it for the sake of Hashem, you're doing it for ulterior motives, you should still do it, mitoich shaloi l'shma b'lishma. He should write it once about all Torah and mitzvahs. No, he doesn't do that. He puts it in Hilchas Talmud Torah and only about Torah. And in fact, the question is bigger. He does it in Hilchas Tshuva. In Hilchas Tshuva, he says that you should serve Hashem even shaloi l'shma, shemitoich shaloi l'shma b'lishma. And he includes their men and he includes their women who are patur from Talmud Torah, because this is a general din in all of Torah and mitzvahs. So why does the Rambam take this Maimon Chazal, put it in Hilchas Talmud Torah, take out the word mitzvahs? From here you see, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that there's a special din here that the Rambam is saying. And the way he explains it is as follows. There's a very famous machlokes of the Rishonim that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav discusses in Hilchas Talmud Torah in Perek Gimel or Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet Siv Gimel. And that is, what does Shaloi L'shma mean? I could learn Torah for ulterior motives. I want kavod, I want reward, I'm afraid of a punishment, I want to get a lot of honor, whatever the reason is, it's shaloi l'shma, it's for my own ulterior motives. That we say do that. What about if somebody learns Torah, but they're not interested in doing any of the mitzvahs, and they don't do the mitzvahs, they're not just learning shaloi l'shma, but they're actually learning, and they don't take it seriously, they don't observe any of the mitzvahs. So many Rishonim say, on this the Pasuk says in Tehillim, V'larosha emar elikim malacha l'saper chukoi v'tisa brisi aleficha. Hashem tells the Rasha, stop talking about my laws. Don't learn Torah if you're a Rasha. Don't. Quit. That's one perspective. Says the Baal HaTanya, the Rambam has a different perspective, which is discussed in Menorah Samar, that even if somebody is not just learning for ulterior motives, they're learning in a way that they're not even having a mind to be able to do the mitzvahs. They're actually not going to do any mitzvahs. Such a level of shaloi l'shma, not only don't I care about Hashem, I'm learning for my own purposes, but at least I'm going to do the mitzvahs. Rather, I completely couldn't care less about anything the Torah says in a real, sincere way. I'm not doing any mitzvahs. I'm a Rasha. So he says, the Rambam holds that such a person is still mechuyev to learn Torah. If you're interested in learning Torah, even If you completely don't care about the mitzvahs, you should still learn Torah, based on the famous Yerushalmi. The pasuk says, "Halavai oisi azava v'serasi shamar." Hashem says, "I wish they would have abandoned me, but they would have learned my Torah." So the Gemara says, "Why? Because hamoyer shaba machziri lemutav." The light of Torah has a power to transform a Jew. This is what the Rambam is saying. Since Talmud mevi lidei maisa, since Talmud brings to maisa, it's not only a instruction book through which you know the mitzvahs. No, when a Jew learns Torah, it brings him to maisa. Torah has in it the power. It's the brain. It's the central nervous system that energizes you. It inspires you. It infuses you with the enthusiasm and the energy and the stamina and the willingness to do a mitzvah. Torah refines you. Torah makes you more divine. Torah makes you more transparent. Torah removes a lot of the static and a lot of the distractions and a lot of the layers that are covering your true pristine essence and your true pristine desire. Talmud is maybe the demaisa. So the Rambam says, Lefichach, the Chachamim said, that a person should learn Torah under any circumstances. And this is only something that belongs to Torah, not to mitzvahs. Why? Because if the Rambam is talking about mitzvahs, if a person is doing a mitzvah, even if he's doing it Shalai Lashma, at least he's doing the mitzvah. Here the Chiddush is much bigger. You're not doing the mitzvahs. You're just learning Torah. You're not interested in doing the mitzvahs. L'chayda your mamash harasha. Still the Rambam says, L'fichach amru chachamim. Learn Torah and under any circumstance, even if the Shalai Lashma is so powerful that he couldn't care about mitzvahs, because mitoich Shalai Lashma, Balishma, ultimately from learning, however you're going to be learning, you will reach a place of Lishma where you're going to want to connect to truth, connect to Hashem, and do the mitzvahs. And he quotes there, interestingly, after he explains the Rambam this way, he quotes Chachmei HaKabbalah, Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Peidik Dalid, Siv Gimel. He says, the Yesh Oimrim, the Shitta of the Rambam is that you should always learn Torah, because Mitoch Shaloi Lishma, you're going to come Lishma. What's Prat Lishma? Lilmaid Almanas Lishma Velasas. For this person, Lishma is that you should learn in order to observe it and implement it. Ki Amayr Shabba Machziri Lamutav. V'cheni says, this is what the Chachmei HaKabbalah taught. The Be'er Heitev brings it in Erechaim Tavkofay and Aleph, that all the Torah mitzvahs that a person does when he's a Rasha, even though at the moment it gives in Kayach Teklippus, because his mindset is completely divorced from refinement. Nonetheless, when he does tshuva in this reincarnation or another reincarnation, l'yidach menu nidach, he's going to extract from the klipa all the Torah and mitzvahs that he ever learned, and it's going to come back to Kedusha, and therefore he should continue learning non-stop. Ha'alocha vav. Mi shenesoye liboy l'kaya mitzvah zu karayu lo v'liyis muchter b'chisra shal Torah. Somebody whose heart inspired him to observe this mitzvah in the most ideal fashion. The mitzvah of learning, a person can establish time to learn in the morning, by day, establish time to learn at night. The Rambam discussed in Halacha Aleph the obligations of how a person has to learn. He says, somebody whose heart elevates him, inspires him, arouses in him a desire that I want to do this mitzvah in the real appropriate way, v'liyis muchter b'chisra shel Torah, to be crowned with the crown of Torah. This person is not just learning Torah. The person actually acquires, they start wearing the crown of Torah. The Torah becomes their crown, meaning it becomes your identity. Just like the crown sits on the king's head and it defines the king. The Torah defines you. The Torah becomes your identity. The Torah penetrates you through and through. You become an embodiment of Torah. Lo yasiach daiti ledvarim acher. This person cannot divert his attention to any other matters in the world. This man has to have one love. He shouldn't think that he'll be able to acquire Torah together with wealth and together with honor. You know, I'll have the cake and eat it too. This is the path of Torah. Even if you only have bread and salt, you eat bread with salt. Even if you have no bed, you can sleep on the floor. Even if you have minimal needs, you could live a life with physical pain, physical discomfort, uva Torah ta'amil, but you still toil in Torah. In other words, the Rambam here is not advocating that a person is only supposed to eat bread and salt. He discussed in Hilchos Deos in chapter 4, the proper hygiene and the proper regimen and the proper diet. The Rambam is saying, in order to really be successful in Torah, in order to be crowned with the crown of Torah, all of these matters cannot take up space in this person's life. If there's bread and salt, he's fine with that. If there's no bed, he's fine with that. In other words, my focus, the focal point of my life is what? Torah. V'lo yalech ha'malach ha'ligmer. You think, okay, but how can I even begin this journey? Torah is so infinite. He says, you don't have to complete the work. On the other hand, don't feel that you're free not even to begin. You begin the journey. But the more you learn Torah, the more reward, and the reward is always commensurate with the toil and the effort you put into the work. Zion, Shema Tayma, you might say, I'm learning, but let me interrupt my learning until I make a couple of dollars, and then I'll go back to learning. Or, let me interrupt my learning until I buy all the tchotchkes, everything I need. Then I will finally be able to relieve myself from my businesses. I'll be able to retire with dignity, and then I'll go back to learn. If this thought ascends in your heart, you will never merit the crown of Torah. From today, make your Torah permanent and your work temporary. Never say, when I have time, when there's no more stress, when there's no more anxiety, when there's no more duty, then I'll learn, because you may never have time and therefore you will never seriously learn. Ches. Kosov B'Torah, the Pasuk says, this is the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, Parshas Nitzavim, he says, Loi b'shamayim iv leimer v'layami. The Torah is not in heaven, nor is it across the sea. Loi b'shamayim, what does it mean the Torah is not in heaven? The Torah is not present among people who think they're better than everybody. They are heaven versus earth. Loi b'gasi haruach u'mitzuya. Torah is not found among people who are pompous, who are arrogant. That's not a way in which you can acquire Torah. Nor is it across the sea, meaning it will not be found by people who are traveling across the sea, because the stress and the anxiety and the hustling and bustling and the traveling and the excessiveness of it will not allow you to acquire Torah. The sages said, not everybody who engages in excessive trade will become wise. And they also commanded, this is all in Pirkei Avos, minimize your business affairs and engage in Torah. Tes, divrei Torah nimshalu b'mayim. The words of Torah are compared to water. Shenamar, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya Perik Nunhei, hoi chol tzomei l'chula mayim. Behold, anyone who's thirsty, go drink water. Now, do you need Yeshaya the prophet to tell you that if you're thirsty, you should go drink water? So Chazal understood this as a metaphor. If you're thirsty for meaning, if you're thirsty for purpose, if you're thirsty for truth, if you're thirsty for godliness, go drink water. Torah is compared to water. Loi marloch, why does he use Torah as a metaphor to teach you? Why does he use water as a metaphor for Torah to teach you? Ma, my main miskansin b'mokim midrin, elin ischolim me'alav miskapsin b'mokim ashboidin. Just like water will never gather on a slope, rather, it will trickle down and it will go down from the slope and it will gather only in the lowest place. If you place Torah on top of a if you place water on top of a mountain, on top of a slope, it's going to go down, down, down until it finds the lowest place, and that's where all the water is going to gather. Torah is compared to water. Kach divrei Torah ena nimtzayim begasi haruach v'loy b'lev kol gval lev. The words of Torah will not be found among people who are pompous and arrogant and filled with haughtiness and hubris. They feel superior to other people, holier than other people. I am an inflated mountain or slope. The Torah is like water. It's not going to be found among those people whose hearts are filled with pride and pompousness. Ela bedako shval ruach. Torah is only found in the presence, in the mind, in the heart of somebody who feels humility, somebody who's humble, just like the water descends into the lowest place. That's the person who can really acquire and internalize Torah. Shemis abeg ba'afar ragle hachachamim. Somebody who sits in the dust by the legs of by the feet of the sages. Somebody who has the humility to be able to remove himself from all preconceived notions, from all arrogant characteristics, from the need of self-centeredness and self-aggrandizement and all the insecurity that comes with it. And I have the courage and the humility and the wisdom to sit in the dust near the feet of the sages to learn and acquire truth. Umesir hataivis v'tanugi asman beliboy. The person has to have the courage to remove all the cravings and the pleasures of the time from his heart. If the person is indulgent and gluttonous and you're just looking for another tzatzka and something else to distract you from your voids and numb your pain, and I'm busy binging or addicted to this or craving this, I can never really internalize tight. I have to really be able to remove from my heart, extricate from my heart all of the addictions and the cravings and the pleasures and the lights of the time. This is a person who engages in work every day a little bit, as much as he needs to live. If he doesn't have what to eat, he has to do work in order to be able to live. But the rest of his day and the rest of his night, he is immersed in the Torah. Halacha Yud is a very sharp halacha. The Rambam had and a very strong opinion about people using Torah as a means for supporting themselves financially. Kol hameisim aliba, whoever decides, he puts it to his heart. He makes a decision. Sheyasek b'Torah, he will learn Torah. V'layasa malacha, he will never engage in work. V'yisparnes b'not tzedakah, let everybody support me. Let charity support me because I'm involved in Torah. Harei zechilulas Hashem. This person desecrated Hashem's name. Ubizes haTorah. And he denigrated, he embarrassed, he scorned the Torah. V'kiba ma'or hadas. Fascinating words. He extinguished the light of faith. V'garam ra la'atzma. He caused harm to himself. V'noytel chayev min'olam haba. And he deprives himself from the life of the world to come. L'fish asur le'hanas b'divrei Torah b'olam hazeh. Because it's forbidden to benefit from the words of Torah in this world. Amru chachamim, the sages said in Pirkei Avos, kol anena b'divrei Torah notel chayev min'olam. Somebody who benefits from the words of Torah really deprives himself, deprives of his life from the world to come. V'oitzivu, the sages also instructed us. V'amru, when they said in Pirkei Avos, loy tasem atorah li'sgadol behem. Don't turn the Torah into a crown through which to glorify yourself. Nor should you turn the Torah into a hatchet through which you're going to dig a hole, meaning utilize the Torah for your own personal financial benefits. The sages also instructed us and said in Pirkei Avos, you should cherish work and despise and loathe rabbinic authority. Any Torah that does not come together with work, ultimately it will not last. The end of the story of this person is he's going to rob from people. If he doesn't have the money, he's going to become dishonest. What the Rambam here is telling us, he's so sharp, and it seems like what the Rambam is saying, at least some of Farshim explain it this way, that the Rambam is actually saying, if somebody sets his mind on the following goal, just like people make money from very different sources, this one is a businessman, and this one is a craftsman, this one is a goldsmith, and this one is a real estate tycoon, this one is a physician, this one is a dentist, this one is an advocate, this one is a judge, and you know what? Torah is a very wonderful vocation. I'm going to learn Torah, I'm going to become a great Torah scholar, I'm going to teach Torah, and where's the money? People will see I'm learning Torah, they're going to give me tzedakah. The Rambam feels that this is the greatest denigration of Torah. It's a desecration of Hashem. It denigrates Torah and it extinguishes the light of Das. It extinguishes the light of faith, the light of Yiddishkeit, the light of Amunah, besides harming you in this world and the next world. Why is the Rambam saying this? Because for the Rambam, what he's teaching us here is Torah must embody, it must come to embody truth and only truth. Torah is giving every person in the world access to Emes, to the truth of Hashem, to the ultimate truth of life. The moment I use Torah and I abuse it for my personal benefits, the person is not just, you want to go make money, go make money. When I'm using the Torah as the crown to which to glorify myself. So now the person who's looking at me, the person who's embodying Torah, who's learning Torah, what did I do with the Torah? The Torah is just an instrument, it's just a tool for me to be able to make my livelihood. The Rambam says, you're depriving the Jewish nation from the light of Yiddishkeit. You're depriving the Jewish nation from Ma'or HaDas. You're extinguishing the light of the Das. Why? Because the whole Torah is just another career. The Rambam says you're never allowed to do that. The Torah has to become that source of truth Support yourself however you could. Find a way to support yourself. The Torah is learned for the sake of Torah. The Torah is taught for the sake of Torah. There's no other agendas. There's no other side benefits. The Torah is not a hatchet or a hammer or an axe through which I dig my holes, through which I make my money, through which I glorify myself. People have to know that Torah is absolutely pure. It represents the highest levels of integrity, of intellectual honesty, of emotional honesty. Torah represents divinity. Torah represents the word of God. That's what people have to feel about Torah. And the one who represents Torah must live this first and foremost, because he is the person who's teaching Torah and is becoming a manifestation of what Torah is. The Rambam continues, Halach Yud Aleph, Maila G'doylehi. It's a very special virtue, l'mishu misparnes b'maisa yadav. Somebody who supports himself from the work of his own hands. Midas chsidim harishonim hi. This was the way of life of the pious Jews of yore. U'bazeh zoich l'chol kavod v'toivah sh'b'olam hazo l'olam haba. And it's through this type of life, through which you support yourself from the work of your own hands, that you acquire all glory and all goodness in this world and in the next world. In other words, the Rambam is saying, don't only think for Olam Haba, it's good. Even for this world, the most honorable life in this world, the most blessed and good life in this world is if you support yourself from the work of your own hands. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Tehillim Kuf Chav Ches, Yigia Kapecha Kisoichel Ashrecha V'Tayvlach. When you eat from the toil of your own hands, not from the toil of other people's hands, from the toil of your hands, how fortunate are you? How good things are for you? Ashrecha b'olam hazeh, how fortunate you are in this world, and toiv lach l'olam haba, how good it is for you in the next world, shekuloi toiv, the world that is all goodness. Now many say, the Rambam seems to contradict himself. This is the question many ask. In Halacha Yud, you said, if you support yourself from others, if you learn Torah and you get support from others, then what is it? Then what is it? It's a chilul Hashem. It's mamash a chilul Hashem. But what happens in Yud Aleph, he says? In Yud Aleph, he says, no, maila g'doylehi, maila g'doylehi. So how do we reconcile these two Rambams? Is it just a maila g'doylehi, or it's an absolute necessity, and if not, it's a chilul Hashem? So some of Farshim explain, and it seems to be the most straightforward way of explaining the Rambam here, is the Rambam in the previous halacha is talking about somebody who at the onset of his life, he makes a decision. Kol hameisim eliboy. My decision is, people should support me. That's my thing. I learn Torah and people support me. This, the Rambam is very, very critical of, as he says. Do not see Torah that way. No, people should not support you because of Torah. Torah is something that has to be learned. In order to learn Torah, in order to teach Torah, the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos explains at length, felt that rabbis shouldn't be supported, judges shouldn't be supported, everybody should work on their own and make a living and be completely independent from the community, nobody supports me, I'm teaching absolutely on a voluntary basis, and that's how the Rambam himself lived. For many years, he was a partner with his brother, Reb David, who was a diamond merchant. The Rambam would invest with him, and then unfortunately, Reb David, his brother, drowned, a shipwreck, and the Rambam was very, very hurt, and he writes, for a year, he couldn't function, he was in a depression. And that's when he became a doctor. He became a full-time became a physician, ultimately becoming the royal physician in Cairo, Saladin, the palace of Saladin for him and the family and all of the royal staff. And this is how the Rambam supported himself. This is what he held very heavily, that everybody should support themselves. But here, the Chilul Hashem is describing somebody who decides, I deserve to be supported because of Torah, and this is what he relies on. That's what the Rambam is talking about. But say, a Talmud Chacham, yeah, somebody is investing for him, or somebody is running the business for him, so that he should be able to dedicate time to learn. Or somebody comes to him and says, you know what, I want you to learn, and I want to have the schus to be part of your Torah, like Zvulun and Yisachar, and I'm going to help you. Or he works himself, but he doesn't have enough money to be able to pay all of his bills, so somebody helps him out. All these options where the person is not coming to rely on other people, believing essentially that my Torah should be warranting you giving me money. That the Rambam feels is a distortion of Torah. He feels it's a denigration of Torah. It's disrespectful of Torah. Torah has to be completely, completely pure. People shouldn't see it as a method in which to acquire money. But if somebody does, if somebody wants to give somebody tzedakah to help him learn, it doesn't seem here in the Yad HaChazaka that the Rambam is against that. That's why it's possible that I should learn and somebody should help me out, even if it was not my intention. In Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam is saying something else. Maila Yaseir, Maila Gdoili, there's a special virtue when I need nobody. I just support myself with the toil of my own hands. Yegia Kapecha Kisoichel. He says, this is the way to go. This is how Hasidim HaRishonim used to live. I should just say the Kesef Mishnah and many of the commentators discussed these Rambams at length because, as you know, throughout Jewish history, they felt that people who learn Torah and teach Torah need to be supported, and therefore there's so many qualifications, what the halacha is, how to be supported, when to be supported, when it's right and when it is wrong. But the above seems to be pretty loyal to the perspective of the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. Yud Beis. Ein divrei Torah miskaimen v'misha merapa atzmai aleihem. The words of Torah will not endure by somebody who is lax on the words of Torah, meaning somebody who does not really apply himself fully. Or those who will only learn amidst excessive comfort and eating and drinking. That's not how the Torah is going to really endure by you. Somebody who gives his life for the words of Torah. Always exerts his body with full attentiveness to Torah. He does not give his eyes sleep or his eyelids slumber. Amru chachamim derech remez. The sages gave the following interpretation in Chumash, in Parshas Chukas. Zois ha-Torah Adam kiyamuz ba'ayal. This is the Torah of a person who dies in a tent. Ein ha-Torah miskayemes. If you want Torah, Zois ha-Torah, it's only a person who sacrifices his life for Torah in the tents, ba'oyel, in the tents of wisdom, among the tents of the sages, somebody who gives up his whole life for Torah, may miss atzmai Allah, he's the person who can really acquire Torah. V'cheinam ha-shleimah b'chachmasai, Shleimah said in his wisdom, hisrapisa b'yayim tzara, if you become weak on a day of adversity, tzar kaychecha, it means your strength is very poor. In other words, to learn Torah when everything is comfortable, with full excessiveness, he says, that's not really going to allow me to internalize Torah. Shlomo HaMelech says, in a day of adversity, when it may be challenging and I'm still completely dedicated to Torah, this means that my strength is powerful. V'oidam, Shlomo HaMelech also said in Kehelet chapter 2, Av chachmasi amdali, also my wisdom stood there for me. So Chazal say, chachma shalamadati ba'af amdali. The wisdom that I acquired amidst adversity and challenge, that is the wisdom that really stood for me and with me. It endured. That's the af chachmasi, the chachma that I learned with af. Af is usually translated as ire or anger. In other words, the wisdom that I learned with toil, with difficulty, with challenge, that was the wisdom that remained with me forever. I think we all know in life that when there's a difficult moment and we learn something from that moment, that's the wisdom that we paid a price for, that we made a sacrifice for, that really touched us at our core. It's wisdom that we had to fight for. That wisdom never, ever leaves you. Chachma shalamadati ba'af amdali. Amru chachamim, the sages said, Yerushalmi brachas perekei, bris krusa, there's a covenant. Shekala yageya b'teirah asir b'es haknasas lebe meheru m'shakeach. Somebody who exerts himself in learning Torah in a shul will not forget the material fast. V'chala yageya b'talmudei b'tzina machkem. And somebody who exerts himself in his learning modestly, he doesn't have to display himself. Everybody should see. He does it with modesty. He will become wise. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Mishlei Ves, Tsnuyim Chachma, wisdom lives with those who are modest. And somebody who learns loud, when you're learning, you allow yourself to hear your voice. Talmudai miskayim biyadei, the learning remains with this person. If you learn and you whisper, you either read the words, you don't say them, or even you say them, but very silently, you will forget fast. You see the difference between libraries and lahavdil yeshivas. You go into research libraries, people are sitting for hours and reading, nobody says a word, it's quiet. You go into a yeshiva, a beis medrash, Uy, is it loud, gewaldik. So the Rambam tells her why. He says, if you want to remember the material, kol ha-mashmi'a kol, you have to learn with a koil, with a chiyas, with a passion, with a loud voice, or at least with a voice that you should be able to hear. If it's done with a whisper and very quiet, the material will leave you much faster. Halacha yud gimel, last halacha. Even though it's a mitzvah to learn by day and by night, a person does not learn the majority of his wisdom only at night. Somebody who wanted to acquire and merit the crown of Torah should be cautious about all of his nights. He shouldn't even lose one night in sleep or eat or eating or drinking or idle conversation or similar things. The nights should be utilized for learning Torah and words of wisdom. Of course, there's the time that the person has to sleep. But the Rambam says, any time that you have during the night, don't use it just for material pleasure or eating or drinking or extra sleeping, but rather for Torah and Chachma. Amru Chachamim, the sages said, Ein rina shel Torah ela balayla. The song of Torah is only heard at night. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Eicha, Yirmiyah HaNavi says, Kumi, rise up, Reini balayla, sing during the night. And the Chazal understood he's referring to Torah. In other words, I could learn Torah during the day, a whole day, but the song of Torah, the ecstasy of Torah, the music of Torah, the delight of Torah vibrates during the night. Kumi roini balayla. Chaloisik b'Torah balayla, somebody who learns Torah during the night, chut shel chesed nimshach alav b'yom. There is a strand of divine grace that extends over this person even during the day. Shenema, the Pasuk says, until him and beis yomim yitzav Hashem chazdoi v'alayla shira imay. During the day, Hashem communicates his grace to the person who at night his song was with me. In other words, the person who during the night sang the song of Torah, this is the person who experiences the Yom HaMitzav HaShem Chazdei Tefillah Lekel Chayoi. Since he, by night, his song was with me, was with Hashem, he was learning Torah at night, Tefillah Lekel Chayoi, a prayer to the living God, therefore Yom HaMitzav HaShem Chazdei V'chol Bayis Shein Divrei Torah Nishmoyim Boi Balayla Eish Eichaltoi. A home in which words of Torah are not heard and learned during the night, the fire will consume it. Rashi in Sanhedrin Sadik Beis explains this to be the fire of purgatory. I would add, perhaps, there's another fire the Rambam is referring to, and that is, the Gemara says in Soita, Ish and Isha is Eish and Eish. But if there's Zoicha, you have the Shechina, the Yud and the Hey, the Shechina is with them. If the Shechina is not there, you have a fire. Perhaps a house in which Torah is not learned during the night, the fires of bad tempers, of anger, of toxicity, of negative relationships consumes the house. Because relationships can be very, very difficult and life can get stressful and anxious. A house in which the song of Torah, the music of Torah vibrates in the house, the atmosphere in the house is a different house. Atmosphere, it's positive, it's divine, it's infinite, it's enthusiastic. It's filled with hope, it's filled with meaning, it's filled with depth, it's filled with inner refinement. Says the Rambam, Kidvar Hashem Baza, the Pasuk says in Parshas Shlach, he denigrated or he abused, he loathed, he ignored the words of Hashem. What is this talking about? Who ignores? What do we mean, Dvar Hashem Baza? He ignored Hashem's words. Zeh, this is referring to a person, Shalei Yishgiach al Divrei Torah Kalikar. He didn't look at the words of Torah at all. They don't mean anything to him. Or similarly, a person who has the ability to learn Torah, he has the ability, but he does not learn. Or he learned Torah, Vishana, he learned Tanakh, Torah Shebiksav, he learned Mishnah, Uparash Lahavle Yoilam Vinich Talmud Yuznachi. And then he separates himself from Torah, he indulges himself in the vanities of the world. He neglects the learning and he abandons it. Hareza bichlal boiza dvar Hashem. All these people, including this last one, is included in the one who ignores or denigrates the word of God. Amru chachamim, the sages said in Pirkei Avos, kolam avatlas haTorah me'oishir soifel avatla me'oini. Somebody who neglects the Torah amidst wealth will ultimately neglect it amidst poverty. But somebody who preserves the Torah even amidst poverty, this person will preserve and maintain the Torah amidst wealth. They say an old word. Why does it say kolam avatla Torah meyosher soifel avatla meyosher? It said kolam avatla Torah meyosher. Yeyani, he'll become poor. What do you mean soifel avatla meyoni? He'll become poor. So there's a word I once heard. The pshat is kolam. Somebody is going to say, "I'm wealthy. I don't have time to learn. I'm not interested. I'm busy making money." But he knows that what's going to happen, he may become poor, right? So what does he think? He says, no problem. When I'm poor, I'll learn. And then, I'll go back up, right? So what's the problem? That's what he says. When he's poor, he's going to become stressed because of his poverty and he won't learn Torah. He won't do the There's also a spiritual interpretation I once saw. Means, when you mekayim the Torah me'oni, the Gemara says, ein oni ela bedas. Poverty is a mindset. When somebody learns Torah me'oni, there's a humility, there's a realization that how much I learned, there's always more and more and more. I realize that I really did not get it because the Torah is infinite and therefore I yearn for more. I feel like a poor person. Soifer lekayim me'osha, this is what opens you up to be able to really experience the richness and the infinity of Torah. Ve'inyin zeh, this concept, this halacha we just discussed, is not just in Pirkei Avos, Mefurushu b'Torah. It actually says clearly in Torah. It says in the Teichich, Parshas Kisavoy, Tachas Shlevadus Hashem Alakecha B'Simcha Tuv Leivav Meirev Kol V'Avadita Esayvecha Sheyishalchenu Hashem Bach Berav B'Tzama V'Edem V'Chayser Kol V'Nosan Al Barzel. Because you didn't serve Hashem with joy and gladness of heart when you had everything, you neglected the Torah when you were rich. So the end is, chalila, you're going to serve your enemy. But the Torah also says in Parshas Ekev, the opposite. You were oppressed in the desert and you were tested in order to give you abundant good at the end. In other words, when you hold on to the Torah amidst challenge, amidst adversity, amidst poverty, amidst difficulty, you will hold on to it amidst wealth and amidst success and amidst abundance of blessings.